From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Matthew 27 and verse 14. He answered him to never a word. He had never been slow of speech when he could bless the sons of men, but he would not say a single word for himself. Never man spake like this man, and never man was silent like him. Was this singular silence the index of his perfect self-sacrifice? Did it show that he would not utter a word to stay the slaughter of his sacred person, which he had dedicated as an offering for us? Had he so entirely surrendered himself that he would not interfere in his own behalf, even in the minutest degree, but be bound and slain an unstruggling, uncomplaining victim? Was this silence a type of the defenselessness of sin? Nothing can be said in palliation or excuse of human guilt. And therefore he who bore its whole weight stood speechless before his judge. Is not patient silence the best reply to a gainsaying world? Calm endurance answers some questions infinitely more conclusively than the loftiest eloquence. The best apologists for Christianity in the early days were its martyrs. The anvil breaks a host of hammers by quietly bearing their blows. Did not the silent Lamb of God furnish us with a grand example of wisdom? Where every word was occasion for new blasphemy, it was the line of duty to afford no fuel for the flame of sin. The ambiguous and the false, the unworthy and mean, will ere long overthrow and confute themselves, and therefore the true can afford to be quiet and find silence to be its wisdom. Evidently our Lord, by His silence, furnished a remarkable fulfillment of prophecy. A long defense of Himself would have been contrary to Isaiah's prediction. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. By His quiet He conclusively proved Himself to be the true Lamb of God. As such, we salute Him this morning. Be with us, Jesus. And in the silence of our heart, let us hear the voice of Thy love.
Thank you.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, he's bringing a message entitled, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul. The setting is the Feast of Tabernacles, recorded in John chapter 7. It was at this particular feast that the Lord Jesus gave the greatest declaration of his messianic claims. As he cried, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord Jesus was showing himself as the fount of saving grace. Then, in this gracious statement, Christ shows himself as the object of saving faith. He set no conditions. The invitation is simply, "Come to me." Nor is this invitation confined to the lost, for it includes believers who are in need of the spiritual fullness that only Christ can give. As they drink of him, the blessing flows out to others. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the soul.
If you thirst, it will be proved by the fact that you come to Christ. If you thirst, how do we know you really thirst? You'll come to Christ. Let's bring this into the natural realm for a moment. You get a man in the desert. He's dying of thirst. His tongue is swelling in his mouth. He is hardly able to make it through another hour, never mind another day. And suddenly, there is an oasis. Now tell me, in all honesty, does that man need a philosopher to tell him what it means to stoop and drink? Does that man need an education to tell him what it means to stoop and drink? No, no. That's the simplest thing in the world. Now, says Jesus, if you thirst, come to me. But don't talk about wanting to be saved if you're not willing to have Christ, because you're only kidding yourself. Don't talk about thirsting if you're not willing to come to Christ. But if you thirst, come unto me and drink. For if you confess your need and your desire, then the Lord himself will meet it. Isn't that how the Bible ends? What is the great point to which all revelation leads us? Revelation 22, verse 17, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For it's all coming to. If you're thirsty, there's water for you. And I'm glad that this is an invitation that covers the whole of life. It's not just the initial coming to Christ for the initial pardon of sin and the initial acceptance, what we call conversion, loosely. It's not just the initial action. Salvation is a very expansive term that covers everything from the initial moment of coming to life until eternal glory. It includes it all. So this is a word for Christians. How often we get weary. How often we drag our feet. We fulfill the picture of Isaiah chapter 40 and 31. We need our strength renewed. We need wings to lift us up into the air like eagle's wings. We need to be able to run without fainting and stumbling. That's our need. Here we are today. And you know, for a Christian, this is not only debilitating, but depressing. I remember a man who shall be nameless. You could hardly believe this is true, but it was. He was insulting to me. Can you imagine anybody wanting to insult me? But he was insulting, bitter, and to put it bluntly, a liar. And after a whole bunch of escapades of this kind of thing, he looked at me and he said, "Well, I didn't think you had any feelings. I didn't think it would hurt you." We can all drag. But what do you do? What do you do? You get to Christ. You get to Christ. Remember a time, you'll forgive the personal illustration because it's easier for me to illustrate from my own experience than somebody else's. Remember a time, and at the time even my wife didn't know about it. There was no use bothering her because she probably saw the results, but it wouldn't do her any good. She couldn't do anything about it. I was still in Northern Ireland. The work, to all intents and purposes, was doing well. But if ever Satan was real, he was real then. I remember a 9-month period when every morning I would get up with a knot in my throat that seemed as big as a tennis ball. It was hard to read, it was hard to pray, it was hard to preach, it was hard to counsel, it was hard to help, it was hard to visit hospitals, it was hard to lecture students, it was hard to do everything. Nothing came easy. Week after week, month after month. But you know, through that time there was only one thing I could do. I couldn't go to my books. Well, I could, but they didn't do any good. I knew the theology enough to know what was true, but simply knowing what was true didn't do me any good. We had a little room upstairs, a very small room, couldn't have whipped a cat in it. And that was my study. And that's where I would go. And just come to Christ. Just come to Christ. And day by day to drink enough of Christ. Strength for the day and hope for tomorrow. Come unto me. Come unto me and drink. Drink. Isaiah 12 says, with joy shall we draw water from the wells of salvation. What are those wells? They're the well springs of grace in Christ. What is that drawing? It is faith in Jesus. Is he who he says he is? Has he done what he said he has done? Has he succeeded? Will he ever fail? Is his word trustworthy and true? Then let me come to Christ. And if I perish today, I will perish trusting Jesus. But that's impossible. I'm the focus, says Christ. I am the object of your faith. And thank God, believing him is never in vain. And he doesn't see it by half measures, as will be obvious from the third word picture that here he gives of himself as the giver of spiritual fullness. He that believeth in me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ gives his grace to a man, he gives him all he needs to live in the fullness of love and joy and peace and power in the Holy Ghost. It's all in Christ. Now, I don't want to be insensitive because I've just given you my own experience. And the Lord sometimes withdraws for a little time in order that he may come with all the greater comfort. He allows us to go through things so that we ourselves may be able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted by God. But it is not the will of the Lord that we live dark, dull or defeated lives. That's not God's will. How do I know it? Ephesians 1 verse 3, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the promise. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, one of the most remarkable statements in all the Bible. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now let's take that at its face value. What does it take for me to live today? What does it take for me to live in godliness today? What does it take? Then it's in Christ. He hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is beautifully illustrated for us in the Gospel of John. We have a text this morning about the water of life. There are three such texts in John. In John chapter 3 verse 5, he speaks of being born of water and of the Spirit. Without going into the exposition of that text again, the form of the words indicates the meaning, born of spiritual water. That's what he's talking about, a reference back to the prophecy of Ezekiel. Then in John chapter 4 verse 14, he says to the woman at the well, Whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And now in John chapter 7 verse 38, Whosoever believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you see it? There's water enough to get you saved. That's John chapter 3. There's spiritual water to cleanse, to regenerate, to bring you to life. There's the water of life. There is grace in Christ to save us. Man, let's start off there today. That's where Jesus starts with a guilty, needy sinner. If you're thirsting for life, there is everything in me that you need for salvation. Do you need reconciled to God? That reconciliation's in my blood. Do you need the forgiveness of sins? Do you need the cleansing of conscience? It's all in the blood that I shed. Do you need to be sealed forever? That is by my grace. You're sealed in me. Whatever you need, God is satisfied with me, says Christ. What did he say on the cross? Finished. How could he say that? Because as he said, finished, God testified, it is enough. You don't need anything but Christ. There's grace to save. But then, when he saves you, he puts something in you. I have been expounding at length these Sunday nights on what he does legally, forensically, imputing the righteousness of Christ to us. That's a wonderful and very, very important theme. But let us never forget this. It's not, and I said this bluntly last Sunday night, that's not the only aspect of God's saving grace. He puts something in you. What is it? It's the same grace, that water of life, that grace with which he initially saved you. He puts it within you, and it's like a well of water. It's always producing. You don't need the water of the world anymore. You're not thirsting after the filthy cisterns of the world anymore. You've got something within you that you can never be the same again. It's a well of water, and it's springing up. That's sanctification and that satisfaction. Satisfied with Jesus. But even that's not the end. For this same grace, this same water, it's like a well of water in you, but then it's like a fountain of water that's flowing out of you. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. You see the progress? Water to save you, water bubbling up within you, and then rivers flowing out of you. That's the full Christian life. That's the full Christian life. And that's what God intends for me, and that's what God intends for you. And insofar as we are falling short of that, we are denying the grace of God. Jesus is the fountain of the grace. Jesus is the focus of the faith that brings that grace into operation in our lives. So it's our own unbelief or our own sin that's keeping us from the sanctification, the satisfaction, and the grace for service.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.